Thank you. Thank you, team. He is worthy. Amen. Just a reminder that the Love Zambia Festival is the weekend after Living Free at Hero Stadium. And so it's been lots and lots of planning and organizing. But one of the things that the strategy that this team has that's coming is they're using believers to help facilitate and get the word out. And so many of you had signed up. You probably are getting some WhatsApps, emails. And so those links, those videos, please share them with others. Share them with friends. There's a little video going around. Don Moen is coming and different things like that. So get the word out. Also, we know quite a few people from Miracle Life are serving, but there's still opportunities to serve. And so there's a sign-up table after service, Love Zambia, and you'll see that you can serve as well. Amen? All right, we're talking about faith and healing. Turn with me to Exodus 15. So apologize about this screen. Don't know why wires wear out on Saturday nights. But sometimes they do. But anyway, we can go old school. You can actually turn in your Bible to scriptures, or use your, most of us have Bibles on our smartphones. You can do that today as well. All right. But we're looking at the fact that God cares about our physical bodies, and he has provision that we see from his word and very, very consistently in the Old Testament and the New Testament, that God wants us to walk in health and in healing. And when our bodies are hurting and broken, he has ways of mending them because he cares. And we saw that last week, that one of the things that was said over and over again in the ministry of Jesus was that he was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion and the leper was healed. He was moved with compassion and situations changed. And so if Jesus was moved with compassion, he is moved with compassion because he still cares in the exact same way for us today. All right? So he cares for us. I want to look at some other ways this morning that we can understand that God not only cares, but he has made provision for physical health and for our bodies to be fixed and mended by him and through him. All right. Another way we can see this is through the name that God uses to reveal himself. All right. So in our praise and worship today, there were different names that came out that he is Jehovah. And in the Old Testament, there were redemptive names of God. Jehovah, our righteousness. Jehovah, our victory. And so God used those names to help us to understand what he does. All right. Jehovah Jireh, or if technically it might be Jehovah Yireh in the Hebrew. But that the song wouldn't be as fun, would it be? All right. But he is our provider. Right. And so one of the names that God used about himself to reveal his nature so that we could have expectation is that God is our healer. God is our healer. So this came out in Exodus 15. And the context is that the children of Israel have just been delivered from Egypt's bondage. They are on the other side of the Red Sea. They walked on dry ground. Pharaoh's army thought that the dry ground was for them, and they were mistaken. The horse and the rider were thrown into the sea. And so they are delivered. And on the other side of the Red Sea, they find that the water was bitter. And so how are they going to drink? How are they going to, and obviously they knew and we know now, you drink the wrong water, you're going to have physical problems, right? And so so through Moses, God is revealing himself, Exodus 15:26, and this is to the children of Israel. If you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, obeying his commands and keeping all his decrees, right? And that's speaking of the old covenant, and that's how you stayed in covenant, all right? We have a new and better covenant. But the covenant that God was forming, so you do your part, then I will not make you suffer any of the diseases I sent on the Egyptians. How many of you remember that the 10 plagues, quite a few of them had to do with their physical bodies, right? All right, and it was judgment by God upon the Egyptians for their 400 years of slavery of God's people and their obstinate not to let God's people go. All right. So he said, I will not be putting those disease on you I sent on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Heals you. Well, Pastor, is that maybe that's just spiritual healing? It's used in the same breath as physical diseases. All right. So God is saying, I'm not the one who's going to be putting physical diseases on you, for I am, contrasting, I am the God who heals you. All right. So let's not make the Bible say something it's not saying. This is talking about physical well-being right here. All right. And it is also in the context of God making the bitter waters sweet, all right, for their help and for their health. All right. So when God says, I am the Lord who heals you, why does he say that? So that we can have an expectation, so that we can go to him. All right. We formed expectations of different people in our world, haven't we? All right. And so, you know, you may know that you have the auntie who comforts you. You have the uncle who gives you wisdom, right? And so you go to them expecting something because it's kind of who they are, isn't it? All right, so when God says, I am the Lord who heals you, it means God wants us to come expecting healing. All right, so we're not putting something on him that he is not doing or that he's not interested in doing. All right, now please hear this. Don't let anyone, including yourself, change the I am into an I was. I am the God who heals you, but there's a certain segment of Christianity that believes he was the God who heals you. Oh, friend, don't make that alteration in your Bible, because the I am is the I am. Amen? So God reveals himself as healer. Now, years later, this same group of people, and if you know their wilderness wanderings, they were there were four kind of major sins that they got into, and they wandered and went away from God, and this was one of those times where they did, and there were fiery serpents or poisonous snakes that were sent as judgment, and they called out to God. Numbers 21, this is many, many years later. Numbers 21, verse 8. Then the Lord told him, Moses, make a replica of a poisonous snake and attach it to a pole. And all who are bitten will live if they simply look at it. So the people cried out. Now, why were they in trouble? Why were they snake bitten? In this instance, it was their own fault. All right, they were being justly judged for their sin. All right, but remember we saw last week, God is a God of mercy. Healing is attached to mercy. So Moses made a snake out of bronze and attached it to a pole. Then anyone who was bitten by a snake could look at the bronze snake and be healed. Do you know that many medical associations around the world, the logo in healthcare or for doctors or for nurses, it's a snake. All right. Now, you'd have to explain that to certain people. What's going on here? Meaning that there is healing provided. Healing provided. All right. And so the people who looked lived. Now, here's an interesting thing. Like we saw in the ministry of Jesus, the vast, vast majority of the healings in the ministry of Jesus were people who came to him. that came to him seeking healing, and he provided healing. All right? He did not try to force healing on people who didn't want it. Right? And even in this, so what the story doesn't say is that when the snake, bronze serpent, was put on a pole, like some kind of sci-fi movie, and Moses waved it, and light went whoosh, you know, and everybody in their sleep got healed. No. Who got healed? Those who looked. I don't think it would be wrong to say those who looked on purpose. Those who looked in faith. Those who looked knowing the God of mercy, the God of compassion, has made provision for me, and I'm going to accept and receive his provision. And that's some of the things we want to talk about today, is that God's healing is provided. We receive it. Okay, we don't buy it. We don't earn it. But we do receive what God has provided for. All right. And yet again, we see God's care, his provision in this display of healing. All right. There was individual appropriation. Okay. Go with me to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Because one of the things we, you know, remember last week we saw that Jesus referred to in a deliverance situation, that he referred to healing as the children's bread. Okay? Again, Jesus today in Zambia would call it children's inshima. Or in Thailand, he would say children's rice. Okay? It's what the family eats every day. Okay? And so meaning that it is provided for by a father. Right? Children don't provide their own bread, do they? Okay, when they're 5, 6 years old, they don't even, it just magically appears in their house, doesn't it? Okay. You know, it's always fun when you tell kids that, you know, chicken strips come from a chicken that's clucking, and we chop off its head and drain the blood, and then they don't like to know that sometimes. All right. So healing has been provided by a heavenly father. So it's his nature to heal. It's his love to heal. But in the provision that happened through Jesus, Isaiah 53 talks about this prophecy of the suffering Messiah, of what he would do. And so part of it is the provision of healing. Isaiah 53, I'm going to read from the Young's translation because it picks the original Hebrew. Many, many Bible translations, I know mine, when I read Isaiah here in 53:4, it has a little footnote, sickness and pains, because that's literally what it means. Isaiah 53:4-5, surely our sicknesses he hath borne, like the scapegoat. He bore something. What was it? Our sicknesses. And our pains, he has carried them. And we have esteemed him plagued, smitten by God, and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace, or the punishment for our peace, is on him. And by his bruise, or stripes, or wounds, there is healing to us. All right. So what Jesus bore, you need not bear. What Jesus received is not our portion. All right? And I know sometimes, you know, Pentecostals will use that phrase, but it's a good phrase. Sickness is not your portion. All right? Because it was the portion of Jesus on Calvary. Right? It was laid upon him, and he became our substitute. Now, again, when we see healing and sickness, somebody might say, well, you know, is that really what this is talking about? Well, in Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, in chapter 8, Jesus is healing there's three different accounts of healing. And at the end, the Holy Spirit, who wrote the book of Matthew, says about these healings, that it might be fulfilled what Isaiah prophesied, that he carried our sicknesses and bore our disease. So is this talking about sickness and disease? According to Matthew 8, it is. All right. So again, don't get confused where the Bible is not confused. Amen. We can argue about the fourth beast. I don't know what, I don't know who the fourth beast is in the book of Revelation, but he's coming. Or the dragon, you know, all those things. People have different thoughts. But where it's clear, when the Bible is clear, let the Bible be clear. Amen. And this is one of the most clear things in the Bible. All right. So that means when you and I today, 2024, when you and I receive healing, it is something that has already been provided in the redemption of Jesus Christ. Right? So we're not asking God to go do something that has not already been done. Okay, when you and I, Miracle Life, at different times when we were building this building and the car park and the next gen, we were building something that didn't exist, right? Healing exists for you. It is the children's bread. And so what we receive, God has already, from his open, gracious hand, given to the church, given to his children. All right. So we receive what God has given. So the love of Jesus, the power of God, amen, it's all based on the word of God and what God has revealed. All right, now let's look at a story, because I think we're going to see a number of wonderful things here. It's the first healing that took place after Jesus went to heaven, all right, because sometimes, and it shouldn't be this way, but sometimes when people read the Gospels, they go, oh, that's Jesus, you know, and that'd be really cool if that could happen today, but, you know, that was Jesus' time. Well, no, Jesus is gone, all right? He has ascended, and he poured out his spirit on what, as Joel prophesied, all flesh. How many flesh is here today? All right, so you're part of that all flesh. If God says, I'm pouring out my spirit in the last days, the last days are more last than they were 2,000 years ago. All right, so we even more qualify for the Holy Spirit being poured out. All right, and so Peter, just very, very right after he preached this amazing Pentecostal sermon on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily, everybody say daily, at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. All right, so my wife and I actually got to see this. It's still there, this doorway on the eastern side of the Temple Mount. And so people would come and go to the temple through this gate. All right. And so why was he going there? To ask alms from those who entered the temple. Do you remember in the Gospels, Jesus was at the temple a fair amount? All right. This is not that big of a place. All right. There are malls bigger than the temple. Okay. So it's very likely Jesus saw this guy. All right. It's very likely because he was there daily. All right. So he sees Peter and John about to go into the temple and asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Well, he did get something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have. Did he have something? He had something. What I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Peter was aware of something that he carried with him. All right. I'm not sure. Maybe Peter's gold and silver was back at home. Okay. But he was not ready to give this guy an offering. He didn't have it in his pocket. All right. But he did have something with him. He had the name of Jesus. All right. You and I carry that name. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple. He went walking and leaping and praising God. How many of you sang that in Sunday school? All right. Good song. Good song. I hope we sing it at church. He stood up, leaping, walked, entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. Verse 9. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate at the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. Now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them. So Peter and John and the former lame man, all right? They gathered to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, which I understand is kind of on the south side, greatly amazed. When Peter saw it, he responded to the people. You know, how many of Peter was always responding in the Gospels? He's responding again. God just tweaked it. All right, God just filled him with the Holy Spirit. Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness or our godliness we have made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God, speaking to Jews, the God of our fathers glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, Barabbas, right? And killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And listen to verse 16. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Now, notice what Peter omits in verse 16. Peter's power, Peter's anointing, Peter's mantle, Peter, the one that Jesus decided. There is no mention of Peter. From Peter. Do you see that? Because they were all looking at him as the guy. How many of you know, boy, Peter could have started a social media craze on that day. I mean, he could be on billboards. He could be the man of power. But what Peter is realizing, oh boy, they're looking at me. They're looking as if I have some power or my godliness or my spiritual connection. Mm-mm. Why did this happen? The name of Jesus and faith in the name of Jesus. Two things. The name of Jesus and faith in the name of Jesus. Now, I want to talk to you real briefly, because this is something that we can get wrong, all right, is that we look to a person. We look to a person, and they have some power. They have it, and no one else does. Okay? So people fly all over the world. They fly less, because sometimes people die, and then the power dies, okay, in some people's minds, all right? Where do we go for healing? The name of Jesus and faith in the name of Jesus, all right? There's something that happens in Christianity. If you look at church history, it happens today. It happens in countries all over the world, and it's a really important concept. It's called syncretism. All right. It's when we mix our non-Christian beliefs with Christianity and it forms something weird. All right. So in the Bible, Jewish people were doing that. They were taking their Jewish culture and their Jewish background and mixing it in with Christianity, and Paul calls it another gospel. It is not good to do that. Right? So my wife and I, we've lived outside of the culture of our birth for 30 years. And so it's kind of interesting because now when we go back to America for 2 weeks or 3 weeks, sometimes we go, this is weird. But when you're in it, how many of you know it doesn't feel weird? All right. And so in American Christianity, there's syncretism of individualism, materialism, other isms, all right, that can make Christianity weird. All right. In Zambia and many parts of Africa, the syncretism that happens around physical healing is witch doctor mentality. Witch doctor mentality. All right. And there are signs all over Zambia for witch doctors. Why are there signs? Because people go to them. All right. And this is the idea of a witch doctor is that they have access to the spirit realm and you don't. And so I've got to go to them with money. Okay. And they're going to go, you just sit in your kind of ignorant self and I'll go jump in the river, turn into a crocodile and folks, how many, they do sometimes. All right. It's for real. All right. How many know the Egyptians of Egypt the magicians of Egypt did some stuff. Right? But you sit there in your ignorance because I've got access to this powerful world and I'll talk to the ancestors. I'll bind some demons, send some demons to your boss, send some demons to your ex-girlfriend. And, you know, we'll sort those people out. Right. We'll cause long lost lovers to come back. Right. Right? Right? So we say, oh, but Pastor, don't worry about it. We don't do that. Mm-mm. So what happens with syncretism is you take that same concept and you just superimpose it onto the church. So you know how you have papas and prophets and men of God and women of God. And they have access to power you don't have. And so we fall down and we worship them and we do crazy things and we tap their anointing. Okay? And it is unbiblical with a capital U. Okay? Unbiblical with a capital U. Right. Now, did God use Peter on that day? He sure did. But how did Peter see it? It's not my power. It's not my godliness. It is the name of Jesus and faith in that name. Because Peter doesn't have to be at your house for you to know the name of Jesus. Peter doesn't have to come to your house for you to have faith in the name of Jesus. That name is available in the hospital. That name is available at 2 a.m. when your child is throwing up. The name of Jesus and faith in the name of Jesus has made this man well whom you see. Amen. All right. Now, so this is so important that we lose that mentality. We just lose that mentality. So does God use people? Are there pastors and apostles and prophets, fivefold ministry gift? Yes. And their work is to equip you for works of service. Okay. Amen. Amen. All right. Now, another part of receiving, so that's kind of at the core of what we're saying today, is that it's the name of Jesus, all right, it's not a magical incantation, but the authority that is in the name of Jesus based on his redemptive work, okay, and faith in that name, to appropriate the name of Jesus never involves money. Never involves a payment. Ever. Never, ever, ever. Nowhere in the Bible do we see that people activate the power through giving money. There is people, you'll hear this phrase, there's a seed to meet every need. No, there's not. No, there's not. All right? Now, do we see the Bible says that when you sow mercy, can you have an expectation that you will receive mercy? Mm-hmm. That when you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap the life of the Spirit? Absolutely. All right. Does the Bible refer to money in some places as a seed? It does. All right. It does. All right. So, every seed produces after its own kind. All right. So when you bring money and somebody says, name your seed, those of you who are farmers know that's not how it works. So if I've got a tomato seed, I can name it watermelon. But it is not, don't name your seed. Don't name your seed. Sow seeds of love. Sow seeds of mercy. Be generous and give. Sow seeds of money. All right? And it'll reproduce after its own kind. There is no seed for healing. There is no payment for healing. There is no payment for the forgiveness of sins. It's something called grace. It's where we get the Latin word gratis, meaning no charge. No charge. And when you put a charge on what is free, the person who gave it free is not happy because it is free. What did Jesus say? Freely you've received, freely give. Okay? So, you realize this is the spark that caused the Reformation. All right? It was Martin Luther, Catholic priest, was saying, wait a second, this guy's raising money for a building fund, and he's saying that if you give money, you can cut years off of your relatives' time in purgatory. Purgatory, comma, a non-biblical place. That is nowhere in the Bible, all right? So giving money for eternal life, those don't go together. And he started reading the Bible for himself, and he started studying, and boom, here we are. 500 years later as Protestants, okay? So, it was called an indulgence. But indulgences have made a comeback, especially among Pentecostals, that you pay for something. Don't ever see the man of God with your hand empty. No. Every time you see the man of God, go with your hand empty. And who's the man of God? Jesus is the man of God. And I go to him empty. I go to him having earned nothing. And I receive of his mercy. And I receive of his benevolence. It was the older brother that told the father, I deserve more. I deserve a party. Based on what I've done. When you are receiving healing from God and you start thinking of your tithe record and you start thinking of your prayer life, you're in trouble. Because I'm telling you one thing, you haven't tithed enough. You haven't prayed enough. There is nothing that you can do to buy the mercy of God. All right? Part of that is syncretism. Part of that is you pay the witch doctor. You go to the special place of power. You exchange money. Whew, I got it. All right? And so, goofball, unbiblical prophets in this continent have picked up on that. Some of them will even tell you, they are on record saying, I got my power from demons. I did not get my power from church. I did not get my power from the Holy Spirit of the Bible. I got my power from ancestors, / demons. You can see it yourself. Just watch them. All right. So anyway, listen to this. Acts chapter 8, verse 14. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. So Philip the evangelist went there. Great joy in the city, signs and wonders, revival, people getting saved. Now they're going for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Verse 15. Who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them, for they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, the other four times in the book of Acts, they spoke in tongues. Here, there's no mention of tongues. Is it likely that that happened? Well, something happened that a witch doctor saw. All right, there was some kind of physical evidence. I believe it was tongues. Verse 18, and when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also. Really, he's not saying give, I want to buy it. That anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. Now, Simon had, he was a sorcerer. He was the main witch doctor. And when Philip was there, he believed in Jesus. But how many know he hadn't changed all of his thinking yet? Okay. But Peter said to him, your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God, everybody say gift of God, could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Anyone who is charging you money for divine healing, according to the Bible, their heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of your what? Misunderstanding? Wickedness. It is wicked. Stay away from wickedness. Stay away from men and women who will do this. Soon as money is brought up, get out of there. Get out of there. Run. Put the money in your pocket. Repent of your wickedness and pray of God, perhaps, if the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. Hey. That's a big problem. So where was the problem? Because Peter identified it. Oh, man, he nailed it right on the head here. You thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. Healing is a gift from a gracious Father. Oh, it is gracious. And he already provided it for you before you were even born. Before you even showed up on planet Earth. That's what happened. One of the things that happened at Calvary. So God, if you're a bookkeeper, this was a prepaid asset. Right? He made payment before you even got there. Oh, what a God we serve. Amen? Every single person who approached Jesus for healing came without money. All of them. Now, the leper who came back, Jesus did say, well, why didn't the other ones say thank you? He didn't say, why didn't the other ones give me an offering? He did not say that. Amen. So is it right to give thanks? The fruit of our lips. Amen. Amen. So along with this, please, please, please do not buy anointed oil. Do not buy anointed water. First of all, because it's not anointed at all. Okay. So because someone, again, it's syncretism. They infuse their power into the oil. Folks, it's not in the New Testament. It's not in the New Testament. All right? I mean, it would be kind of cool, honestly, because some of the anointed water is for marriage. Right? Loving spouse. Oh my gosh, if that was the truth, my wife and I would buy it in bulk. I mean, I would shower in it. I would bathe in it. I'd have an IV every day, making me a better husband. Well, how do you become a better husband? You love Jesus. You obey His word. You sacrifice. You love. You go first. You lead in love. And there is no water that's going to do that for you. Amen. I'll be honest. I wish there were. I wish there were. All right. So when we receive from God, we're not looking to a man. We're not looking to a person. There's not hot spots around the world where this is breaking through. No. The name of Jesus and faith in that name. Faith in that name. Now, are there people whom God uses? Yes, praise God. Thank God for the gifts of the Spirit. All right? But one of the greatest things for us to receive healing is to get healing in your heart. To get it in, just let it be settled in your heart that Jesus is my healer, that Jesus provided for me. And we'll talk next week about the roles, the role of hospitals, the role of doctors, the role of medicine and diet, and because the Bible speaks to that, all right? But that my first thought is, Jesus, I can look to you. Jesus, I can trust you. The name of Jesus is alive today. And if it was powerful for the man in Jerusalem, it's powerful for the man in Mandevu or Cohen de Square, 1 and 2. Amen. Wherever you live, wherever you are, the name of Jesus is above every name. And every name that can be named bows at the name of Jesus. And I can trust in that name. And I can trust what that name represents and the character of God and the love of God and the power of God in my life for me. Amen. And then as I pray for family members and as I pray for people in connection groups. Amen. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Oh, and that name is free. That name is available. That name has been given to the church. Amen. All right. So here's what we're going to do before we go today. If you've got sickness, disease in your body, if there's an injury or something like that, and you say, you know what, I want to be prayed for through the name of Jesus. I believe that the name of Jesus is greater and bigger than what I'm going through. Now, here's what I'd ask you to do is, I've got a mom with a situation, so I'm not asking you to stand for someone else. Man, when you leave this church, go minister to people. Go share with them. But this is for you. All right, this is for something you're facing right now. But if that's something and you would like to look with the gaze of faith and to trust in the name of Jesus, just stand to your feet where you are right now. Just stand to your feet right now. All right? It doesn't have to take a long time to decide, but you say, you know what, Pastor, I am facing a physical situation and I want to trust in the name of Jesus. I want to look to Him and I'd like to have prayer around that. All right? Hallelujah. All right, so if you're standing, and here's what I'd ask you is I really don't want people just to come for the next 5 to 10 minutes. But if you're standing right now, just go ahead and come forward right now. Just come forward if you're standing right now. All right? Care team, just come and stand stand in front of them here by the stage. If you can just kind of sneak your way past them here. Get in front of them. Pastors, if you would come with your spouse. Paul, Mary, why don't you guys come? Paul, Mary, come. All right? All right, those of you that are in the aisle, just stay in the aisle. We'll accommodate you. We want a single line. But just, yes, stay in the aisle there. All right, ushers, if you could just be behind anybody here. And what I'd ask you, those of you that are going to be praying, I really feel like this from the Lord because I feel like this is what He's instructed us today, is pray in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, body be whole. In the name of Jesus, sickness depart from this body. All right? And because they're coming to trust in that name. All right? And I don't think you're going to have to spend a long time with anybody in particular, but right now, those of you that have come for healing, you're standing up here. Just lift up your hands to the Lord. Lift up your hands to the Lord. Congregation, stretch out your hands to these right now. Father, we thank you right now for the name that is above every name. The name that is above every name. The name that is above every name. And Father, through faith in that name, through faith in that name is making these men and these women whole that stand before us. Father, we thank you for radically changed testimonies. Father, we thank you for a long life. We thank you for mended organs in the name of Jesus, whether they know what it is or whether they don't know what it is, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Let's go ahead and pray, everybody. Oh, Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father.